Show. Yes, it's been a busy week, hasn't it? Help Show last night, Max Show this afternoon, and now we've got the Big Show to finish off the set. And I actually posted the Help Show as well. We're supposed to do a draw tonight, but I've forgotten to set up the mask because it was a bit late and I didn't get my dinner. So I'll pick three names at random and I'll just say them on a different thing, but I won't be able to show it on screen like I did last time. It's not a fix, I promise. But three people tonight are going to win copies of MacPaw software. Clean My Mac 2 will be yours. And if you haven't got a Mac, then you'll have to let me know and I'll try and figure out a different way of reimbursing you, but with something
cool. I hope I don't win then.
But you've got to write in as well. You can't just expect me to contact you. You've got to contact me and tell me that you've won. Right. This week, the big tech stories are going to be discussed by a fantastic panel. I've set up the five-way and not the four-way because Doc Rock was going to be here, so it might be a little bit longer yet. Top left, starting us off, it's Todd. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
Now, for the uninitiated, mate, who are you and where are you from and et cetera?
I am from Arizona in the United States, and I am the owner and operator of Alpha Geek Radio.
Good man. And we're broadcasting, aren't we?
We are indeed. I patched you through onto our special events channel. So, you know, if you're not already tuned in, and you can obviously hear my voice if you're not already tuned in, just come over to mobile.alphageekradio.com and listen in.
Special event. We've been described as special a few times, but not in that context. That's for sure. Welcome, sir. Touching. First time hitting the network, and we hope it's the first of many. Next to him, making his first network appearance, is Alan Houshall. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Now, you're traditionally a pundit on our tech podcast for Pocket Show, aren't you? So,
yeah.
But
a number of times.
This is your first excursion into one of the main panel shows with video.
Yep.
And we got rid of the sodding dog and your wife.
At the moment.
Why on earth did you marry that woman? Good grief. next to him, it's Sarah. How you doing, Mrs.? Second appearance in a row, mate.
I was going to say, this is becoming a bit of a regular evening gig. I might think tomorrow, I come tomorrow night, I'm thinking, should I be doing a show tonight? Normal for evening time.
It is, yes. Apparently, Princess Bagel says, Alan, that you always threaten to bury her under the patio.
Really?
Pretty much always, yeah.
Oh, well, never mind. You've got to get round to it one of these days, mate. It's one of those jobs that you put off constantly, isn't it? It's like the dripping tap up in the bathroom, burying the wife under the patio.
Yeah, she's very good at making sure there's other DIY to do first.
It's not really DIY, I suppose. Do her in self. And last but by no means least, Big Chris Ashley, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing fantastic, gang. How are you guys doing?
Well,
glad to be back.
You've got to be doing better than us, mate. Your missus is away.
Yes, she's out. No crazy questions, no silly questions. It's all Xbox and daddy, what time is bedtime? That's it. Here's a tablet, go sit down. Daddy's on the Xbox, but it's all good. Happy to be back. Second show this week. I love hanging out with you guys. You guys are a lot of fun, and I really appreciate the love I get from your fans as well. So, happy to talk some tech today.
Steady on, mate. You're gushing now.
A little bit.
Love you too, bud. Love you too. The week in tech, what's been going on? Well, Amazon have started the Prime streaming music service, which we talked about briefly this afternoon on the match. That's come out for US only, though. And there's been a few other things kicking around. We got a bit of derision, it has to be said, over the solar panel roadways story that was picked last week. Someone did say, do you realise how bad roads get in terms of dirt and that kind of stuff? But we did get a review as well. Thank you very much to Chris Campion. I might have read this last week, actually, but I'm going to read it again anyway because it's a nice review. British tech podcasts are a must subscription for every tech enthusiast, geek or fanboy. The show strikes a good balance of mates in the pub and informative tech news. The Mac Show, the Big Show, the Pocket Show keep me company on my daily commute. You host the show well and keep the subjects moving with a great panel, which includes Jeff Gamet, Paul Wheatley, Paul Wright, and others to get a global point of view. There you go. Thank you very much, Chris. If I've read that last week, then, never mind. I've slept since then. Right, the buried under the patio is already the show title, according to the chat room.
Seems to be cropping up quite a lot during the conversation tonight.
Well, until he gets it done, I'm not surprised. Once it's done, then it'll be Fred West. Take some tips off him. Right, what have we got? What's the big stories that you guys looked at and thought, yeah, I've got to talk about that. I've really got to talk about that. Who's going to start us off? Who's got the story of the week? Go on, Sarah. Go on then. You ummed first.
Well, I've actually got two, and I couldn't decide between them.
We could do both. Doc hasn't shown up.
Well, yeah. I mean, I may come back to the other one. But the one I wanted to talk about was, and it's not a direct thing, but it's an impact of tech, is these protests that we've seen in London today. I think it's today. Obviously, I'm not in the UK at the moment, so I can't actually remember which day it was. But about this, the Uber app, and it seems that these protests are happening across Europe. And I must admit, I agree with some of the comments that this is people standing in the way of progress, because this is about an application called Uber for hailing taxis. In London, I know it's also in several other cities around Europe. And the idea is that you actually, the problem with it is the fact that in London, black cabs are supposed to be the only taxis that are allowed to actually do metered trips. And TfL have actually allowed this to, they've actually allowed them to, people to use Uber as well. So, you know, and there's been a lot of protest taxis blocking Trafalgar Square, and Metropolitan Police were talking about whether what they were going to allow to happen. And I just thought, because of the fact that it's actually spread across Europe in terms of affecting other Rome, Madrid and so on and so forth, it's interesting because it's an application having this impact on what I think is progress. And I just think it's crazy. I know, you know, if you're a black cab driver in London, you're probably thinking that you shouldn't. You know, you've got to make a living and stuff like that. But I think it's a good thing to be able to actually do. And you know, this is the way we're going. And there are other applications like Halo and so on and so forth. I know that's mini cabs, but it is.
Well, my understanding of the Halo thing is we need to be quite careful, I guess, and quite clear. You can't hail a cab. The only person that, if you stick your hand out, can stop and let you in is a Hackney carriage, a licensed carriage. So you're not hailing an app in that true sense, just to clarify. Mm. This is an app that you get on your phone and you dial effectively via the internet for a cab. I don't see the issue with it other than the fact that London cabbies are going to lose a shitload of business over it, because I've got to say, having used the Uber service in San Francisco, it's bloody brilliant.
This is the issue I've got, is about the protests, and I don't agree with the protests because I think it's them, you know, standing in the way of where the world's going. Black cabs in London have had a monopoly on metered journeys for taxis for a long time, and TfL are trying to break that monopoly. And I can, you know, I think it's just the way it's got to go.
Chris, one of the things I love about the internet and protests like this is how these protests shed light onto the same parallels that exist with government, with almost anything, with jobs, you know, you may have as the boss. And whereas you have the old guard in place that don't, and are so happy with status quo that they don't want to rock that boat whatsoever. You know, it always amazes me that you never have, the oil companies looking for alternative fuels. You don't have the internet companies trying to figure out what's the best way to give the people the speeds they want. Here we are looking to end up having to pay more money because they're going to charge the Netflixes of the world. And I love the fact that when you have a situation like this, even though on the surface of it, it's the cabbies versus the free market ability to have other enterprising people drive their own cabs. But the larger picture, as I love how it sheds light on that, how these type of things are continuing to happen and the internet is breaking down those barriers left and right, where the old guard, the people that are in place, the status quo way of doing things are getting smashed by the internet. And I love this aspect of it, even though it's going to be a pain for folks trying to drive around out there.
No, I agree, Chris. I think that's the whole point. It's changing the way that, you know, what consumers want. And yes, I know it's great if you're walking along the street and you want to hire a cab and you just stick out your thumb, whatever. It's great. But I think there needs to be alternatives, and you know, they need to see it as a yet another service that the consumers can benefit from.
Yeah,
it should be complementary. It shouldn't be seen as a threat. And that it's the reaction of the taxi drivers to it, and the fact that it's happened across so many cities in Europe that is, I just find incredible.
But it's an old story told over and over again. When you have an innovator that rises to a position of prominence, and they immediately begin fortifying their position against all future competitors. The stories I brought with me today, one of them was the Uber protest. And this was going to be, you know, the tale of three disruptors. So you have Uber coming in attempting to disrupt the pay for travel services that are deeply entrenched, very much in bed with governments around the world, where we've seen tailor-made laws written after Uber has come into a market in cities in the United States to right. specifically kill the ability of Uber to do business in those cities, because really? The entrenched cab companies are so enmeshed with the local government. Mm-hmm. The other contrasting story I wanted to look at was, we're also looking at Amazon, who is past that point of the little upstart and has become the Goliath, and is now feuding with another Goliath, the publishing industry, which is another of these deeply entrenched, used to having no competition, fingers into everything organizations. And they're having a throwdown in several different ways. They've had an ongoing feud with Hachette, which is a huge publishing conglomerate across Europe. And it's starting to affect their consumer-facing operations, because people can't get the books that they want to get. And the authors who want to sell their books can't get them sold on Amazon, because they're fighting over trying to... Well, it depends on who you listen to. Hachette says, evil, evil discounter is trying to steal all our monies. And Amazon is saying, no, we're just trying to break up the publishing monopoly and make it fairer for everyone. So the author gets paid more, the consumer pays less, more books are sold, and everything is sunshine and kittens. So who is, you know, in that, you know, in Uber and the taxi companies, we have a very clear David and Goliath. We have little upstart Uber, even though they're valued at $16 billion. They're only 4 years old, trying to break in. And now we have Amazon, who could be considered the bad guy, going against an equally large organization who could also be called a bad guy. Who do you root for in that disruption?
I think in that situation... it's very clear to me that Amazon are the one that are shaking things up a bit.
Alan, no one's going to let you in, mate. You need to just start talking.
Speak.
Meaning you know me, Ewan. Once I start, I'll keep going.
Is this because you've got a friend who's developed an app like this that your wife's already outed in the chat room? Are you trying to get diplomatic silence?
It's one of my ex-workmates. Yeah, so he's got a taxi calculator website, and he also went and developed apps, and that was quite unusual in that I was thinking one of the arguments they were saying was because Uber calculates fares, it's illegal. Well, he's been running his taxi route service for, I think, sort of 3-4 years now. Obviously, it's only because Uber's got a chance of being so popular that suddenly they're trying to bring out every single wrinkle. And obviously in the UK, there's a hell of a lot of legal wrinkles they can bring out, can't they?
I think the thing is as well, your good lady has made a point in the chat room about climbing into any cab that just turns up and says they're a licensed taxi driver, because they may not be. And absolutely, the law says that you must pre-book if it's a private hire vehicle. You can only hail down a licensed Hackney carriage. There is a definite difference between the two. And from what I see, Uber is not trying to be a Hackney carriage. They're trying to be a minicab service, but you're booking them through the internet. The other problem that you've got with Uber is they're very much about people who've got a cab which is perfectly okay and under 6 years of age, I think, or something like that, they're allowed to have it, providing they've got adequate insurance, and they're allowed to be an agency driver for them. So these aren't people that are on staff, if you like. These are people that are getting their jobs ad hoc when Uber wants to give them out. And there's currently a case at the moment, isn't it, with the death of a six-year-old girl in San Francisco, where she was knocked over by an Uber driver who was not on a fare. And Uber have stepped away from it and said, it can't be us because he wasn't on a fare at the time. and he wasn't going to pick it. He wasn't on the way to pick a fare up. But I have to say, Uber have got the right attitude to it in that it is something which is a very slick service. You also get to, you know, the name of the driver that's coming to you. And when he comes, he does not provide a decent service. You give him a review. If you give him one star, that is it. His ranking goes down in Uber. He gets less fares and people choose not to have him more. And it works perfectly. And likewise, if you're a customer, if you're a bit of an arsehole, Uber can downgrade you and you won't get a cab off Uber anymore if you're too much trouble to be bothered with. And in Birmingham inner city and British inner cities, that's a real positive for cab drivers.
Yeah, absolutely. How can that be a bad thing? It's got to be, you know, a better thing. I mean, I'm not knocking black cabs, but in that situation, if you have a bad, you know, ride with a black cab, what are you going to do about it? The impact that you can achieve by complaining about it is minimal compared with that. Mm. And that's got to be a good thing.
Windrider in the chat room saying Uber X drivers in Melbourne have been fined $1,700 by the state government and Uber have agreed to cover those costs. Princess Bagel, I wonder if this Uber issue is opening up potential problems of nutters picking at people to attack them, like what happened a few years ago. And I think, no, it absolutely isn't. It's very, very well controlled and maintained. Sorry,
Tyler. And I don't think that'd be any different than a cab driver who gets a cab.
It's no different than a mini cab driver. I think the licensing is going to be an issue for them. But yeah. Todd, you were going to say something?
The most annoying part of it to me is the fact that the current black cabs, they don't look at this as, you know what, let's innovate and come up with our own service to just, you know, if you want to beat them, do the same thing. Create an app. Let, you know, if you got a cab in the area and somebody wants to call a cab, go in there and say, hey, there's a cab 5 minutes from me. Book them through the phone. You know, don't fight the innovation. Innovate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Sodna. You were waiting a few seconds ago, so go ahead.
Well, just to me, the correct answer would be for the companies that are entrenched to be in talks with Uber, say, can we license your system, please, and apply it to ours so we can become as good as you? How can we compete? Unfortunately, they're going the easy route is, how can we just stop there from being competition? Because we're really enjoying our monopoly. And that's where the sad truth of human nature rears its head. But
I don't want them to license it because I'd rather them come up with a system that's better than that makes Uber come up with a system that's better than that one.
Yeah,
even better.
Keep the same competition.
You've got a license.
Absolutely.
Drivers.
You know, at your end point, which was to make everybody do something. Don't just sit there and try to crush somebody for no reason.
Yeah, but you've got a license.
Always better.
You
it,
have
it
to
innovates
license.
Innovates and it improves and yes, moves things forward. Progress.
Totally agree. But you have to license people who pick up people publicly and take them to places in secluded, potentially dangerous environments where you can cause a vehicle to not open its rear doors and drive off into the middle of nowhere, and then that's it, you're stuck. You've got to have a licensing system that does a verified check on that individual before you let them work in it. Has to be. I forgot what I was going to say. Never mind.
Well, the contrasting story that I brought to those is today, Tesla Motors posted to their blog that anyone who wants to use their patents in good faith can at no cost.
Yeah, I saw that late on today. I mean,
slightly different approach to all of this idea of competition, don't you think?
Sure. Excellent. Yeah, but I mean, to what extent are they talking about? Are they talking about their battery technologies or just any patent that they've currently got?
The way he described it in the blog post was he took down the entire wall where they had posted up all the patents that Tesla has gotten and are offering the entire portfolio. But what they're most interested in people licensing is the batteries and the turbocharging stations, so that the charging network that they're already constructing will be useful for all future electric vehicles.
Oh, good.
So there's no standards war as far as charging goes, because without a good infrastructure for charging, this whole idea falls apart. So they want to make sure that the standard they have created becomes the standard, and they're willing to forego profits in order to do it.
As long as it's not someone else's standard, though. There is a bit of that.
Yeah. basically, they're saying, here's the patent. The patent covers our standard. If you want to develop your own, you can, and you won't be in a patent war with us, but wouldn't
Even
you rather
though
have
I like
the free
idea.
One?
Yeah, it's slightly self-serving.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but it's still very brave.
I'm still fine with it. But Yeah, we can't pretend like that there's not an advantage to them if everybody goes with the method that they're using. Because look what's going on with the Qi wireless chargers and the PMA, the power mat, which, you know, Starbucks just said they're going to start equipping all their stores with the power mat association. So for folks don't know, that don't realize, there is actually two wireless charging technologies that exist. One is PMA, which is the Power Matters Association, and they're owned by Duracell now. And one is kind of an industry standard, the Qi, and it's QI, but they pronounce it Qi, wireless charging standard, which is what Nokia was using. But AT&T here in the States, they back the Power Mat, so I couldn't get my 1520, had to come. I can't get a Qi wireless charger for, so. Yeah, it's a problem. So I like what Tesla's doing. They say we're gonna put an end to this right now. So I'm happy that they're making a move that's not gonna impact us, the end consumer.
They're
in
not
the long run.
They're not trying to monopolize the market. They're saying it's here if you want.
Right.
And our network, you can charge on our network if you want. There's no force towards monopolization, I don't think. No. Has anyone got an electric car?
No.
Darren Griffin has.
Expensive, man.
No, Darren, one of the listeners to the station, Darren Griffin, he does PocketGPSWorld.com is him, and also the Mac Fixer. And he invested in an electric vehicle, and he swears by it. He's done some long journeys in it as well, and he doesn't take long to recharge. And you see little tweets from him popping up where they just stop for 30 minutes, get a charge, and then they're off again. It works
really
well.
I'd love to get a nice little Tesla.
Shock the other day, we saw a car plugged into the electric charger at IKEA.
Wow.
I've never seen it before. That's the one and only time.
We must have been Darren Griffin, because he's the only person I know with an electric vehicle apart from Robert Llewellyn.
Yeah, and there's someone who's got one.
Yeah, it was actually weird because I noticed that we have a charger over at our local organic store that's in my neighborhood. There's a charger there in the parking lot.
And after you've said that, Princess Bagel says she saw an electric charging person using it at IKEA, first time ever. There you go. There's an echo in your house, dude.
There is.
Kind of. Yeah, good stories. I think the Uber one's going to rumble on for a long time. The one thing that I saw when I saw the picture of all the cabbies blocking everywhere in London was everyone is going to look at that and go, wankers.
Yeah, that's the whole point. They don't get it.
No more than they deserve. Get rid of them.
They don't get it. I mean, they're not too bad in terms of being OTT with their monopoly, they are pretty good. But I do think it's standing in the way of progress, and that's what matters.
Excellent.
That's why I wanted to cover the story.
No, it is. I think it's going to rumble on, though. It's definitely going to rumble on for quite some time. Chris, what did you bring for us, mate?
I tell you what, one of the things that has been weighing on me for the last week, and especially over the last couple of days, because this week we had the E3 announcements. Microsoft went first again, then Sony went. And last year, Microsoft announced all these innovative things that they were going to do. They got beat up as usual by the unbiased tech bloggers. And that's my air quotes of the day. And then so this year they go all games and they get beat up again. And then the tech blogs went as far as to start claiming one side won and one side did, you know, that both most of them are saying PlayStation won. And I watched what was announced. PlayStation announced some what I can assume are good games. I'm not familiar with their platform. All the games that Microsoft announced are appealing to me, especially with the Halo one that they're going to do, which is basically they're taking all the Halo series that existed before, putting them on one disc, remastered them a little bit, and now they're going to release that, and you're going to allow you to pick and choose which Halo version you want to play. And it's an awesome idea to get you halfway to getting to the next Halo, Halo 5. So I thought that was some pretty cool, pretty awesome announcement, actually. And but the bigger picture is, when are we going to get to the point where we stop complaining about who's taking whose technology? You know, Apple comes out with their announcement, and the first thing you start seeing is, oh, they took that from Windows Phone. They took that from Android. And at this point, it's like, aren't you glad they took something? And aren't you glad that they're taking something from the platform that you so vehemently love? Because at the end of the day, if they take a feature, they're validating that feature.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, you know, how you guys feel about this. Are you tired of the over, how do I say it? Just the annoying of the drawn lines. You know, I'm a Windows guy 100%, but I'll bring Microsoft to task when they do something I don't like. And if, you know, I don't support the other platforms, but certainly if they do something that I think is awesome, I'm all over it. It's like, that's a great feature. I hope they bring it to our platform. I really wanted to talk with you guys and see, has this thing that is annoying the hell out of me made it over to you guys yet?
I think the thing is with this is that there's been so many patent lawsuits flying backwards and forwards between all these companies that the journalists are picking up on this a lot more because they're saying, they're looking for almost like, you know, where's the next lawsuit going to come from? And I think that's what's highlighted this issue. But Chris, I completely agree with you. It should be celebrated. And this is the thing about moving forward, as we were touching on just now. It's about building on the shoulders of giants. And this is how these things happen. So it should be applauded.
Yeah, I'm of several minds on this one. But I always look back to the space race in the 60s when we were racing against the dirty red commies to the moon. And the drive behind that extreme brand of competition. And on the U.S. side, we had really crappy rockets. The Russians had really good rockets. They could fling tons more than we could into orbit with very little effort because they were good at that one piece. Because we were bad at rockets, we had to make everything small and light. And because of that, we had to create the integrated circuits and a computer that was smaller and lighter. And the entire silicone-based computing revolution was accelerated and aided by that need to overcome something that we were bad at because we couldn't just buy the solution from the Russians because they were our mortal enemies as far as we were concerned. So part of me says not being able to just take the best bits from your competitors with no restrictions can cause you to be more innovative. But I'm also of the mind of, but wouldn't it be great if we could just take all the best pieces and put them together and not have to worry about
Chris
it?
Chris Ashley.
Hang on, Chris has dropped off.
I scared him. I had that effect, I'm sorry.
Chris fell off the perch.
I make this beautiful subject that I thought would get a lot of conversation going.
No, I was saying you're trying to. It is that one of, you've not heard the damn word. Is fanboyism good or useful sometimes versus is it just an absolute pain and just wastes a lot of internet bandwidth? And I agree. I mean, I'm an Xbox guy. Have been since the original Xbox. But I watched both of the Xbox and Sony E3 presentations in full this year. I thought that I thought that Microsoft's game selection and stuff was better and had a lot more pace than Sony's. But would I like to give a try on Little Big Planet and stuff? Yeah, okay. Do I think if and when PlayStation TV ever makes it out of US and Canada, that's sort of quite a cool idea for cracking the multi-room sort of thing? Yes, but I do agree that Microsoft is definitely obviously one of the favorite punching bags of the tech press. And I did groan when people like The Verge and stuff was going, you know, Sony won the E3 press conference. This is the battle royale.
And it's going, amazing. It's amazing that even comes up in this day and age. Like, oh, who won? How do you know who won? None of these games are even released yet.
Mm-hmm. I think sensationalist clickbait titles
could
confuse
be.
You.
Could don't be. Confuse me, but I'm just hoping that, you know, the internet has a way, which in many ways I can't stand it with this backlash thing, where the most innocuous thing all of a sudden turns into somebody getting dragged through the internet. But when you have situations like this, you know, these are the kind of things I actually root for to see. When look what happened to TMZ, you know, they posted that video, but you know, that terrible crash from comedian Tracy Morgan, where somebody died. Mm. And they felt the need to post that video. And now there's a backlash against them who initiate most of the backlashes from the internet to take that video down. And when it works in the right way, I'm all for it. But overall, this, you know, I just wish we can put an end, or people can start putting an end to this kind of nonsense.
Didn't the initial question start off as patents, though?
It started off as E3.
It was me that made the comment about the fact that this probably happens because of the number of patent lawsuits that fly backwards and forwards.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Because I was going to say that's the patent issues and the lack of openness is an egalitarian thing to suggest that we can create something and then give it away. But in the end of the day, you know, there's got to be food put on the table, and there has to be some protection for people who create things that they can get some protection from it. I have to say that I was extremely disappointed that Apple just blatantly copied things like Alfred app. And because they're a developer of Apple, they've signed an app developer agreement that says, tough, it's ours. You may have developed it, you may think it's all yours, but because you put it in our app store, it's now ours.
Yeah, well, something like that.
That's unfair.
I would be completely against, because, you know, here you got this gigantic company and they just take something from these little guys who are trying to, you know, get some crumbs. I'm not down for that, you know, that aspect of it. But if, you know, when you have a company like Google or Microsoft or Apple, who, you know, the live tiles, the way information is bubbled up on Windows Phone, and then you start to see these guys start to change the way they bubble information up so people can see the same things, and you start to see the way they handle context. To me, that type of stuff makes sense. And if they do it, take it and do it better, then that forces Microsoft to do it better. But I find that to be different than taking a small company or another company's feature and be like, we're taking this and you're done.
But that, you know, has an economy of scale in though, doesn't it? In the sense of at what point do you say that then escalates to being worthy of action against that group? And that's the key part, because that worth of action is infinitesimal to someone like Alfred App, and it's infinitesimal to, it's huge to someone like Apple. Where they'll look for a single thing, the rubber band effect. And they actually lost their own patent battle on the rubber band effect because they'd shown it before they patented it. So there was prior art at their own keynote.
Yeah, there are aspects of it. I mean, it's always going to be tough. But, you know, like I work professionally in an enterprise corporation. We develop software for enterprises. And every time we build something, we're like, this is innovative. This changed the way things do. But you got to stay. You do have to stay ahead of the game. So I'm not completely, sympathetic to even if a small company. I understand it sucks, to a lot of extent. But you know, at the end of the day, this is what we should happen. You know, so when we build something and then Microsoft adds it into what the way Windows works, or they add it into what they do, it's up to me to keep us ahead of the game see what they did with what we did and then make it better.
So what if the game then copies what you did the day after? You don't feel bad about that?
Not necessarily. For me personally, it's a competitive thing. So
I'm sure your company feels different.
You look at what they did, you see how they did it, and then you're like, okay, well, this is what they did. This is the way we do it. You decide which one is better. The consumers will decide in most cases. Now, of course, you know, most people aren't savvy enough to go find a better way to do something. Especially when it comes to smartphones. But there is a certain level of help that it provides a smaller company, because they'll see how somebody took their software and moved it. And then it's up to them to then take it to the next level and say, we still do it better. Take what you want. We're still going to do it better. Mm. You know what I mean?
Sarah, you were saying?
The point is that companies are going to do this anyway. Patent protection, right. Copyright protection or whatever. It's still going to happen. They might do it a bit more covertly, or, you know, even take a risk, as we've seen with certainly larger companies where they do blatantly copy what other companies have done. But it is the nature of the beast, is that you know, is about continually innovating. And as a software developer, you are always continually looking for ways to do things in an easier and better way than the next guy. And then, you know, you might look at what somebody else has done and then take it on to the next level from what they've done based on what you're going to put into it. That's just evolution in the tech world.
Especially in software, that no software developer should ever be comfortable because somebody's coming for you. Look at the way, you know, Facebook tried to add, you know, features that resemble, they're coming out with their own Snapchat tool. That, you know, look what reason why Google came up with Google Plus, because they saw what the amount of information that Facebook could get. You know, Twitter was, it came out as that microblogging service, and there's other people trying to add Twitter style features into it. This is what happens. And no one should be comfortable because somebody's going to come along and just take what you did, make it a little bit better, and then people are moving away from your technology to the other technology, and it's up to you to stay ahead of the game.
It is. I mean, I've been a commercial software developer for 30 odd years, and if I stuck to what I learned originally, I wouldn't be doing this. And the only way you do that is you're continually changing, and it does put a pressure on you to keep up with the latest technology and, you know, in order to be able to grow and move forward. But that's just the nature of the beast. It's part of the job of being a professional, so that you know, when you are talking to clients about how to do something, you know how to do it and you understand the technologies to enable them to do it.
I think it's a tremendously complicated issue, though, to find out where that dividing line is. Because there is clear innovations where someone has thought hard and long about how to achieve it. And there's no chemical formula in place that they can protect it, and no secret sauce that they can keep the recipe for. And therefore, people can just de-engineer it. I mean, there was discussions the other night when I was at London Mac User Group that the Chinese, Intel's processors came out, they just basically got them and they put them under electron microscopes to try and completely re-engineer them. Same with RFID chips. They just found out what the RFID chip was. They put it under electron microscopes and they rerouted everything back to copy it exactly. And that was the end of it. And there is no way of getting away from that. There has to be some protections for people.
Yeah, one of the things you learn as a software developer, I know I have done many times, is that I can just look at an application and know how it works. So re-engineering, I don't even have to look at the code or anything like that. I just know how it works. So you have that ability to take that and reproduce it. You might do it in a slightly different way. I'm not saying I do this, but it is part of the nature of beast of then building something that's better to understand how what you've got at the moment works.
Batwench in the chat room says, did I say hard and long? Well, I have now. There you go. Alan, what did you bring for us, sir?
I think the one I'm going to pick is about the bit more development, a bit more information about the Google search results, right to be forgotten stuff.
Oh, right, okay. No, go for it, because I'm sure you've got plenty of stuff you need to forget.
You have an incoming call from
Chris. It's only valid as long as you give us some of the stories that you've petitioned to have them take down.
Well, I'll say that was going to be my first bit, was apparently so far... Google said they've received 41,000 requests to take down sensitive material.
That was a good night for you, Al.
Nearly a third of the requests were related to fraud or scams. One-fifth concerned with serious crime references, and 12% connected with child pornography arrests. But the other half of the story that I thought was interesting was they're talking about when they implement this, they're actually planning, if you do a search for something and it includes results that they've excluded, they're planning to actually put a sort of alert or notice on the page to say, these are only partial results because people have told us to forget some of this.
Oh, so if you... Well, that kind of defeats the object, doesn't it? Because if you've gone for a job interview and someone's Googled you and it says, well, actually, Fred's got some stuff he doesn't really want you to know, some serious nasty shit that we really can't reveal, but let's just say it's to do with a donkey in an alley.
Oh, I don't think they're going to do quite the be specific, but it does obviously give you the hint of, hang on, wait a minute, there might be something I need to dig deeper for, and I can use, yeah, a search engine that isn't complying with the EU law.
You end up, maybe find it. An employer won't take you on because you don't show up on Google now. They won't take you on when you do show up on Google, and now they won't take you on because you don't show up on Google.
Yeah, I think that definitely defeats the purpose.
I think Google didn't want this thing, and apparently Bing are still considering how they're going to comply, because obviously they're hit with it as well for it.
Right.
Bookery feels it's important to clarify whether the donkey was consenting or not, which I couldn't agree with more. Donkey in an alley is the show title request from Bromwith. With regards to the Google takedown, I regret nothing, says Batwinch. So Batwinch has got so much he needs to take down.
Just for the record, Donkey in an Alley is my Rolling Stones tribute album.
Ah, totally good. It definitely has to be the title now. Has anyone got anything that they really wish Google had take down? Come on.
Not today.
If we did, why would we be giving more airtime to it, Ewan?
I am simply not that interesting.
Is it just me then that never actually Googles themselves? I don't think I've done that for years. Well, maybe it's just a bit narcissistic, isn't it?
Well, no, but the thing is, the vanity searches on your actual name aren't particularly grand. I mean, if you type in Ewan Rackett, all you get back is shitloads of crap podcasts.
Excellent podcast.
No, the thing is, Alan, if you do, because your nickname on Twitter is Digital Amoeba, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you do search on Digital Amoeba, if you've signed up to any websites using that alias, then your searches can get pretty damn interesting. I had one that I did. I've done the kind of vanity search and see what happens, and it's not worth doing anymore, and I don't do it now. But I had a website address that I signed up with a few years ago to a place, and I did a vanity search on that, and that came back with no end of stuff. And someone had actually, the website for the place that I'd gone had lost all the data. And my username and password was published on the website. And then I went down the link and started going to it. And I'd found people had signed up to the Lib Dem conference using that nickname and using my details, because they managed to get my name and address from that, as well as they'd signed up for the Nazi Party and the BNP. And there was also someone had signed up for a Muslim newsletter using it, which I could.
I want to know how long it took you to come up with that story to explain all those sites you've been signing up for.
I was going
to
say, this is either a horror story or the best cover story ever.
You got me. Shit, what can I say? I thought it was a good talk. I thought that would watch that.
Well thought out, perfectly plausible. Yes.
Well played.
Oh, damn. I was hoping that would run over.
I'm going with believing you. Yeah, that's crazy, it's the truth.
I've got nothing to hide. I've done some serious shit worse than that, Christ. And I'll even tell you about it later. But it's not as bad as the stuff that Greeny's done that I've recorded this afternoon that he didn't think I was recording.
Oh, boy.
And he's asked me not to put out because he's looking for a new job. Or maybe I shouldn't have said that, actually.
There's something to get a takedown notice for.
Yeah, absolutely. Greeny, God, the stuff that Greeny needs to forget. Unbelievable. No one's applied for anything then?
No,
you don't have to say what it is.
We don't have the option here in the US. It doesn't cover us.
As Paul Ums is apologising for having done that to my account. He didn't mean to. Mao Craze Gay got 3.3 million hits on Google just now when she went for it. Good.
Which
God.
Is pretty amazing, because that's, you know, pretty unique name.
It is. I mean, where have you been, woman? What did you do? I might do that search myself later. Unbelievable.
What have you not done?
Exactly. For 3.3 million hits, that's a lifetime. That's 2.5, well, that's 4 weeks in seconds. So I'll be Googling that myself later. My story, pretty simple one. Intel find. 1.06 billion euros by the European Court for anti-competitive actions, unquote. They had got an appeal that went into place, but it got overturned. And they were seeking an annulment of the penalty. But, I mean, basically these guys were taking computers and going to German retailers and saying, right, you'll only sell Intel-based products, you won't sell any AMD-based products, and we'll give you a chunk of change in response for doing that. And they went, okay, that's fine, but in a German accent.
So let me get this straight.
Jawohl.
Microsoft got beat the hell up for antitrust. Intel gets beat the hell up for antitrust. And Google skates through without just a little smack on the wrist. How is this possible?
I don't know.
Well, I think
Google is pretty high on the EU's hit list these days. It's just the law courts take a long time.
They haven't got hit with anything yet. I mean, barely. They've agreed and said, this is what we're going to do. And they said, no, that's not enough. Do a little bit more in their case. But man, wow. I'm shocked.
Well, the fines are definitely trending upward. I mean, Microsoft was able to basically absorb the fines that they were hit with as cost of doing business. Mm. Intel writing off over $1 billion, harder to justify and may actually have the desired effect of modifying their behavior.
Do you think? I looked at that and didn't think it was enough, I have to say.
I mean, what's their revenue stream like in a given month? I mean, because it was about a month's worth of Microsoft's income that they were fined, which they basically shrugged. Okay, we'll give you that money. Enjoy.
This is probably more than a month's worth for Intel. Definitely. Yeah, good point.
It may at least give them pause where they're not going to they're not merely going to shrug as Microsoft did and say, well, we'll just give them the money.
They may need two signatures from the finance director.
They do live in a different dimension and planet than we do, yes.
Yeah, I just, how wrong is going to a firm and saying, I tell you what, we'll give you some money if you don't sell other people's products. Only sell ours.
It's patently illegal.
Well, yeah, forget about the ruling. Forget about the ruling. I've got such a huge lead in the market that I can pay you to not sell another company's product.
It's why you have regulators, Ewan, that to stop that sort of thing from happening. Otherwise, we end up with we're going back to monopolies again, which is what we touched on with the first.
No, we had it when they deregulated the buses here in Birmingham. You remember going back 25, 30 years maybe, they deregulated bus routes and anyone could run a bus route provided they were licensed by the local authority and held adequate insurance. And West Midlands Passenger Transport said, drive anywhere for 2p. And as a result, other companies could not compete with that. They couldn't make any money. And West Midlands Passenger Transport didn't care because they were getting subsidies from government and the fact that they had a vast sum of money sat in the bank as a war chest to see off all the competition. And they had to get ruled against them to stop them from doing it. It is a massively negative practice.
Yeah, I'm not upset that they're getting smacked. I'm just upset that a certain company that I'm not a huge fan of continues to skate through. The Teflon software company.
Well, there is a certain point, mate, of what can stick. And going and telling some German firm, I can't do it, and someone makes a note of the fact, I've heard some stuff about a certain German firm where they had business practices which were based around making sure that deals occurred by subsidy to individuals, shall we say. You get my drift. I don't want to make sure I say the wrong thing here. And one of the people in that firm said to me, it wasn't such a problem that they were doing it. It was the fact that they bloody wrote it down.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's the
it's
wild
only
west.
Illegal if you get caught.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's the wild west. Yeehaw!
No, don't write it down. There you go. Commit all the fraud and bribery that you like. Just don't make a note.
Only do it in software, and then you can rewrite it and say, oh, very sorry. You know, whereas if you've done it with hardware, they've got you. Evidence is there.
Did it for Capone. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, part of that is why I like is what I enjoy about the internet as well, as I was talking about earlier, because it makes it much harder for these people to get away with stuff when they're doing dirt.
Yeah,
I think so.
Most definitely. The Bash is coming up. It is Friday the 11th of July and Saturday the 12th of July. You're going to love these 2 days. Because the curry, it starts at 5:30. The Kismet Curry House is open from 5:30 onwards. There'll be beer and wines and ciders and all that kind of stuff served. And there'll be loads of starters in tureens around the outside of the room that you can pick at. And then we'll sit down for a sit-down meal afterwards. Families included. My kids are going because it's Ellis's birthday, so you'll need to sing him happy birthday. And Mao's birthday's that day as well, so we've got that. The curry is only a £10 deposit, though. That deposit you will get back off the price of the meal. So whatever we all consume, the deposit will go into the bill, and that will reduce the bill by the requisite amount, and then we'll split the rest between the people that are there. If you want a curry ticket, there's still some available, no problem. If you're leaving it till the week of the bash to go and buy it, however, you may end up getting a bit of a sharp shot because the curry tickets are going pretty well. The bash, not so much, because we've got a bigger venue and we can get a lot more people in there. So the bash is the following day if you're not too hungover and too drunk. We've got the Link, which is a fantastic venue. Alan, you slept there last year, didn't you? Same as me.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic place. Big open garden, huge, huge hall. We've got Leanne, who did the food last year, doing the food again this year. And anyone who went and tasted the food last year is going to go, okay, I'll come back just for the food. Because the
You looked after us very, very well last year.
The cherry fudge brownies were something else. And I was out on Monday night, and a group of folk there said, oh, well, you know, but we're not really into a geeks day, you know. It's not a geeks day. It's a family fun day. We had space opera races last year. We had the World Card Cutting Championships. We had great food, great beer, and an absolutely fantastic time. So it's just a fun day. And all my kids are going to be there. Greeny's kids are coming over. Paul Wheatley's coming down with his kids. Loads and loads of kids are going to be running around the garden having fun. Get your family. Come down. Have a great, great, great day. Anyone who's under 16, free of charge. It's £25 for a ticket at the moment, but we're very close to getting a sponsor. If we get the sponsor, you'll get that fiver back on that, so it'll go back to the same price as last year, just the £20. But we'll do a couple of podcasts from there as well. And Paul Wheatley's got something up his sleeve for the Pocket Show, and I think you're going to enjoy it when it comes out. It should be really, really good. So that's the bash. Go to BritishTechNetwork.com/bash tickets and order yours now, because they are going away pretty quickly as far as the curry ones are concerned. I've got to pay for the old hall today, so there's £400 gone out of the coffers. So if you are coming, please buy your ticket, because I'm out of pocket otherwise.
And now I want a curry. Damn you!
Yes, you've got to come over for a curry, mate. That's the way. We'll sort you out.
A fine place, 2 blocks away. They will be getting my business shortly.
Good man. Actually, the curry house we're going to is one of the best curry houses I've ever tried, and it's literally 200 yards from me. It's superb. It's excellent. This network and all the others is supported by lots of other people. And the first one is the Network Union. They're absolutely brilliant. These guys provide an extra layer of support between you and your BT Business Broadband account. If you sign them up, then don't worry, because you're still tied to BT. You've still got your contract with BT. You've still got your control with BT. But Network Union provide an extra layer of support in between the two. And the prices won't change. You'll still pay the same amount that you've got for your business broadband. But Network Union will help you with your LAN, your WAN, all that kind of stuff as well. And they're absolutely superb. Don't listen to what I say about them, because they know far more about it than I do. Get to BritishTechNetwork.com/sponsors and then click on their link. Give them your email address and they'll use it to contact you back to say, how can we help? So even if you're not sure whether they can or can't help you, give them a contact. And talk to the guy there and see what they say. And if they can help you, they will. And if they can't, they'll say that they can't. Once you've done that, your email address is discarded. They won't be keeping contacting you for advertising and marketing, and they will not pass it on to anyone else. Absolutely guaranteed. So check them out. They're really, really good. And they provide us with the BT broadband service in here to get the live shows in and out. And they also give us £50 a month for the Patreon deal, which is lovely. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, then it's patreon.com/BritishTechNetwork. Chuck us a couple of quid, and it goes towards getting new lighting in the studio, new microphones for people. Sarah's sitting there with a brand new Rode podcaster that was paid for out of the Patreon funds. And we've got new lighting coming in here. Paul Wheatley's starting the Gamer Show and the Pocket Show as well. They're going to go to video and they're going to go out live. He's got a copy of Wirecast from there, and we've got live stream. And it's Patreon stuff makes a world of difference to us. It just eases the cost because none of this comes cheap. I'm sitting here in around 25 grand's worth of tech that's all running at the same time. Sometimes it runs better than other days, admittedly, but we do need support. So thank you. If you've done a donation, then stick listening to the end because you could have won 3 pieces of MacPaw software, I promise. And UK2. Please support them. They're brilliant. Go to sponsors page again on britishtechnetwork.com and click on them. You get loads and loads of offers with them. You get reductions on domain names, 20% off domain names. You can't beat that. And co-location services, VPS, VPN, dedicated servers. There you go. There's loads of stuff with them. They've been with us for 4 years and they're absolutely stunning. You cannot get a better firm that's focused on customer services for the web. You must check them out because they're absolutely brilliant. So please support them as well. And stay tuned to the end because the Patreon deal will happen and we will tell you who has won. Have we got any cool things? Did you all know you're supposed to bring a cool thing?
Should we go first, Ewan?
Excellent. Sarah wants to go first.
No, I said should I go first and just give people a chance.
The idea of what the cool thing should be.
Yes, my cool thingy is an app on Android, which this isn't just something I've just thought, oh, okay, what have I got on the phone I can use? I've actually been using this for the last 6 weeks, and it is cool. It's a pedometer app. And I know there's a few of them around, but I've been looking at a few of them, and I've settled on this one. It's called AccuPedo, and it's available in the Google Play Store. It's also available on iTunes. Great app, does lots of graphs, keeps track of my daily steps, allows me to set goals, and it tracks it month by month, hour by hour, day by day. All the kind of things that you want to be able to do with it. Absolutely great, rock solid.
Excellent. What?
Free.
Oh, free, brilliant. Love that. Superb. Who's got to go next? Alan, what have you got for us, mate?
Yeah, I'm actually going to take a recommendation. I got highlighted, and I'm going to put family over tech here.
Oh.
In that there's a McLaren P1 augmented reality app that you can get for, unfortunately, you can only get for Android or Apple. So go look in those app stores. But basically, you print out a flat image of a McLaren P1, and then you can do a lot of interactive stuff in terms of looking around and sort of having the entire car move and obviously use the app on your phone or tablet to look around it. The reason why I said family over tech is because my brother works at McLaren.
Oh, right, okay. Can you get me a car on loan? I'll do a review on it. Honest.
Myself and Princess Bagel have had a couple of drives in some very nice high-end vehicles, but they're pretty picky about that sort of thing.
No,
That's a shame.
I bet there's some tech in there that's worth reviewing. I could totally do it, honest. I could.
Okay.
I could.
I'll see what I can do with a word.
All right. Okay, mate.
Get Jensen on the show.
Oh, well, yeah, I think that's going to happen. Lovely pick, mate. Excellent job. Chris, what do you have for us, mate?
Okay, so the last time I was here, I picked a headset, and I'm a headset guy. I love testing headsets. I love messing around with headsets, and I got another headset for folks, but this one is not on a professional level. It's on a just a regular social level, and for years, I like to lift in the gym. You know, I'm still fat, but I still like to lift in the gym anyway. I still like to go for walks, you know, from my room to the refrigerator and back, but... If you want, one of the things that's always annoyed me is the tethering. Okay, it just started to annoy you having that wire come down from your headset down to your pocket, wherever you have your phone or your MP3 player, especially in the gym, because I'm sure anyone who's gone to a gym has always walked past a bar that has yanked the headset out of your ear or, you know, yanked your phone out of your pocket, and it's annoying. So I've always looked for a solid wireless headset, and I'm telling you that the Bose AE2Ws, these wireless headsets are absolutely awesome. I love these things. I've used them every day since I've got them. Essentially, they are a stereo headset. They have an adapter on the side that allows for Bluetooth phone calls. but you can remove that adapter and then plug in a cable into it if you want to, so that, you know, if you run out of battery power or whatever, you can just use a cable. Or if you're on a plane and, you know, you're not really supposed to be using Bluetooth on a plane, you can just use that instead. But the sound, you know, I'm not a big fan of Bose speakers inside, you know, the regular stereo speakers. I think they're highly overrated. But as far as headsets are concerned, they make decent headsets at a decent price. You know, these things here in the States are about $250, but they sound really good. They're over the ear, which helps with sweating, especially if you're going to go on a walk with stuff. You know, plus they cover your ears, so it helps with blocking out sound. It doesn't have noise sound, doesn't have sound cancellation.
Oh, well.
Sorry about that.
It's all right.
Apparently, we're having a storm in the area.
Oh.
Anyway, the Bose AE2Ws, that's their first wireless headset. Fantastic headset. Check them out.
Good man. Bronwyn's giving you some shit in the chat room. She says, do you even lift, bro?
I tell you what. I had a my max bench press was 515 pounds at my best. So, and I just did 315 the other day for fun. So, oh, yeah. Even though I'm a big dude, I'm a big dude.
Eat that woman. He does lift. See?
Yeah.
Todd, what have you got for us, mate?
It's a company that I started working with when I was realized that I was profoundly lazy and didn't want to have to develop my own listening app for the radio station. So I came across TuneIn.com, and they are specialized in streaming audio. And what they've done is they have gone out and hoovered up every streaming audio station they could find on the planet, put them in a directory, which was their first step. So they made it easy to find whatever niche audio content you're interested in. And then the next thing they did was build really good apps for every platform you can imagine, including BlackBerry. Can you believe it?
Really?
So you can get an app for smart television, for internet radio appliances, and of course for every smartphone in the world, iOS, Android, Windows Phone, and BlackBerry. So it simplifies you. It all puts it under one account. You create your account, you set your favorites, and then those favorites follow you from device to device to device. So no matter where you happen to be, it's very easy to tune into whatever you feel like listening to, talk radio, music, very genre-specific talk and music. There's thousands and thousands of channels in there. But the beauty of it that I realized later in my relationship with them was the fact that it's one account across every platform you might possibly have. So if you are the kind of person who enjoys audio programming and likes to go mobile with it or likes to use it on different appliances like the built-in smart TV capabilities or older devices like some of the older BlackBerry OSs, this opens the door to letting you move from device to device seamlessly, stop listening on one, pick up listening on the other. I just had a really good time working with them. It just works, and it works on everything.
A, they've got Windows Phone, which we love.
Yes.
And B, also, they've got Samsung Smart TV apps, Panasonic Viera, Roku, Sonos, Logitech.
You name it.
Amazon Kindle. Everything.
It's a great app. I use it on my tablet and my phone.
Solid pick, sir. Excellent. Solid pick. Good. We like that. How are you doing, everyone? Because I'm really excited about my cool thing.
Go for it.
I'm going to do a demo, and the demo may go horribly wrong, but we shall see. Here it is. This is my cool thing. Whoa. There we go. Horribly wrong. I never get to fly these things properly in front of the camera. But I bought this today. This is a... Oh, Christ. Nah, that hurt.
this is a flying death trap.
It does fly better in an unconfined environment, it has to be said. The little tiny area I've got here is not perfect for it. Let me just pick it up off the floor.
You didn't actually provide a safety warning, did you, about the fact you tend to fly these things at the Big Bash, too?
I do, yeah. I've got a big one that I flew at the Big Bash last year, so... There we go.
Ewan offers free haircut.
Oh! This is it.
It specializes in close shaves.
It's a little tiny quadcopter. It's from Husband. And it's absolutely brilliant. It takes a little while to charge, but when it charges, you get about 20 minutes of flight out of it, which is superb. But here's the best bit. It's got a little tiny camera in the front.
Oh, I want one of those.
See, oh, that's not creepy at all.
No. So here we go. Let me just... here we go. See that little thing there in the front? There's the camera right in the front of it there.
That is awesome.
Okay, and it's 60 quid, this thing, so it's 100 bucks. But it's superb. It flies absolutely brilliantly. It's just got an idiot at the controls at the minute. But here's one I made earlier, just so you can check out the quality. This is my son and daughter having a watch of the TV while I was being really annoying with this. It's a little bit jerky on the foot. I'll put the actual footage in the video show if it looks a bit jerky now for the people who are watching live. It's not that jerky at all. It's very, very smooth. But the quality of it is unbelievable for a little tiny pinhole camera. It's 4:3, it's 640 by 480, so it's not stunning. You're never going to set YouTube on fire with this. But for a little camera, it is absolutely superb. And for a little flying platform as well, if it's in good daylight, the quality of it's incredible. I'm just going to go and buzz the wife here in the kitchen in a second and really annoy her.
That could be the end of it.
It could be. Here we go. Though she actually waves at it. She actually enjoys it. There we go. She said she was quite impressed with it, it has to be said. And I take it over and have a look at the pork that's on the plate just before dinner. There's my wife drinking beer. Doesn't help. Social services will have the kids off us eventually.
What's the battery life on that thing?
It's a little lipo on the inside, and you get about 20 minutes flying time on it. It takes about half an hour to charge up. But it is rather good. I need to concentrate. Here we go. I concentrate now. It makes a fantastic noise. It sounds like a bumblebee.
It does, doesn't it? A very loud bumblebee, but it's...
And you said you can control it with your Windows phone?
No. You get a little controller with it. It's not Windows phone at all. But I'm doing right now. There we go.
Now, I saw a demonstration of kind of the industrial versions of those guys at the TED conference where they'd taught them how to cooperate with each other, and I could say was Skynet.
Well, those ones, I've seen that, the little demo of the TED one where the guy, he throws a ball at it and that kind of stuff, and it sends the ball back to him from there's three of them opening a net out and stuff like that, isn't there?
Yeah, if you look carefully in the crowd, you can see me in the back row.
Oh, cool. That's brilliant. But I've got a whole load of these. I mean, my daughter and I were home on Tuesday. I was looking after her because the wife was away. And I said, what do we want to do? And she said, I want to build a helicopter. So we sat and built a quad, huge quad with 15-inch propellers on it. So,
question for you, Mr. R. How does it broadcast? Does it record is the camera record on board, or does it broadcast it?
No, it records on board. You put a little SD card in the back end here, and then when it's in there and it starts up, and you saw that when it was switched on, there was flashing lights.
Okay.
So
yeah, I saw those.
Yeah, the flashing blue lights tell you that it hasn't linked yet to the handset. So when the handset's on, those flashing blue lights will go solid. And then there's a little blue light, red light at the back here, that when it's done that, you can push a button at the side and it starts recording. And then the only problem you've got with this, which is a bit of a negative, is if you crash it, it stops recording and it doesn't save the file. It leaves you with a corrupt file. So be careful not to crash it mid video. But I mean, you're never going to make commercial videos with it, but it's absolutely fantastic. The quality of the video blew me away. And I'll put it on the finished article, and you'll see it if you
I think it's just so surprising that there's actually a video camera in there. I mean, you know, it's tiny. I would have thought you'd need quite a bit bigger quadcopter to get the camera recording in there.
Well, the thing that's nice about it as well is it is really tiny, but it's also very solidly built. The chassis feels it feels quite heavy, but it feels solidly heavy, not I can't fly heavy, if you like.
So not plasticky when it falls from 5 feet, it's going to break?
No, I mean, you've seen me there, I've managed to drop it on the floor tonight and skid it under the bench, and it's still just come up and flown straight away afterwards really stably. I haven't done the accelerometer calibration on it yet, so it should get a lot more stable than that if I bother to do that. But I got it out of the packet, didn't read the instructions, you know, typical bloke.
That's the way to get it done.
Too right. Yeah, the instructions are for girls. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Hauschel?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Digital Amoeba.
Excellent, mate. And apparently you got a helicopter for Christmas.
Yeah, I did.
Did you ever manage the second flight?
Previously, and it ended badly. this other one's still in the box.
All right, okay.
But keen to use it sometime. Maybe I'll bring it to the bash.
Bring it to the bash and we can lose it there.
Yay!
It's called a flyaway, mate. Sarah, where are you, mate?
I'm on the Twitters at SarahJaneUK, and I'm hoping to get one of those for Christmas, which would be good.
It's only 60 quid, mate. You should get it this afternoon.
Well, yeah, I know. I just thought it was a good follow online. But yes, I'd like to get one ASAP and see a lot of fun in that, especially here.
I will bring this one down with me, and we will shoot some footage with it at the bash. I've also got a little tiny one that I'm building out of two Frisbees. So,
just out of interest, what sort of range has that got?
I'll let you know when I lose it.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I think I'm looking out here and thinking all the things I could sort of hover it over the bay and stuff like that, but it would need to have a reasonable distance.
No, you're not going to get more than about 30 feet out, I would have thought.
That'd be enough.
I've sliced myself with it. I've sliced myself on the arm. Jesus, I'm not doing well this week. I've whacked myself with a bullwhip and I've sliced myself on the arm with a helicopter live on air. Jeez.
I don't know.
Mr. Ashley, where are you, sir?
You can always catch me at Big Chris Ashley on Twitter. And of course, every single week we're recording the SMR podcast on Tuesday nights. Thanks to my friend Todd, we are now can go live on TuneIn Radio channel, the channel 2. And also on, we post the show on Wednesdays. And out there, and I'll actually be back on the BTT. That's what I like to call you guys next week on the Gamer Show. I'm gonna actually been invited to come hang out with you guys for that. So I'll definitely be here
on the Gamer Show. Yeah, you like that? Chiz and Sam are a bit of an experience, mate.
And if you're not following me on Twitter, smack yourself.
Shrek and Donkey. That's who you're gonna go on with. and Todd, where are you, sir?
The personal Twitter account is at GnomeWise. That's GNOMEWISE. And if you want to, SMR goes on the air live. You can follow at Alpha Geek Radio for the network's announcements.
Excellent, mate. Thank you for pushing us out tonight as well. We shall. We ought to talk about us utilizing your service. Thanks, mate. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again to normal next week. So Mac Show's going to be on Friday and Big Show's going to be on Thursday. But before we disappear, you could be a winner. The winners of last month's MacPaw competition are...
Drum roll.
I've done it while they were talking, while they were doing the things. The winner is Andrew Cannon. Congratulations, mate. You've won a copy of MacPaw 2. David Walker, you've won a copy of MacPaw 2 as well. And Martin Kelly, well done. You've won a copy of MacPaw 2 as well. All you got to do is send me your email address and realise that you've won, and I'll send you the offer code. They expire in 30 days, however. So get a free con. Get it sent in. I'll get it back to you. I promise. Thanks for listening. See you next week.